Okay, welcome back, everybody. So glad you're here. Start us off with a little prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this evening. Thank you for the group of men and women that have continued this journey, that are willing tonight to talk about increasing their conscious contact with you, that are willing tonight to begin to practice your presence in their lives. Please give us the courage and the strength and the opportunity to be of service to others through seeking your grace and your power in our lives. Thank you again for sobriety, and just allow us to continue to set aside everything that we think we know and continue to give us open mind and new experiences, and allow us to continue to see truths about our disease, about these meetings, about this book, about our fellows, about our relationship with you and our relationship with others. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so we're at the 11th step. We're almost home. The truth is we're just making a beginning. That's what we're doing, right? Last week, I focused on step 10. I like to split them up. I think it's important, even though they're so intertwined. I read a sentence to you last week that I believe is of utmost importance for me to contemplate when I think of 10th step in my life. And it says that every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts that need to go with us constantly. Through this, we can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. This is the proper use of the will. So a lot of the times we all get caught up on what is God's will and what does it look like and what is turning my life over to the care of God look like? How do I know I'm doing God's will? There's another part right below that that says, if we have carefully followed directions. I'm going to repeat that. If we have carefully followed directions, we're going to begin to have this sense of the flow of God's spirits into us. To some extent, we're going to become God conscious. We've begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action, right? So carefully following directions. You know, we spent quite some time in our first step. I truly believe that a first step done perfectly, one day at a time, will continue to keep us from a drink or a drug. I believe that going back to a drink or a drug is as simple as a first step problem. The difficulty is putting our finger on that at times. Carefully following directions after I've truly admitted powerlessness and unmanageability in my life, I came to believe that this power greater than myself could take me to a better place, right? Because I was so convinced, being convinced that a life run on self-will could hardly be a success through what I had seen. If I'm not convinced that a life run on self-will can hardly be a success, then I can't go any further. I can, but the chances are I'm going to circle back to a drink or a drug. So carefully following directions means that I must be convinced. And at that point, I'm going to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Then I'm going to become armed with facts about myself. I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to do this fearless and thorough and honest inventory, which is scary and it's ugly. And I do believe moving forward, if you struggle with an inventory process, find somebody that you can trust and ask them to help you. Confide in them and ask them to help you with the inventory. We'll just keep it as simple as that. We had some experiences in this particular workshop where I was able to entertain this idea that I could give a little bit of advice and direction on inventory, and I think it proved to be rather helpful. So remember, don't be afraid to ask for help. So if you've done this fearless and thorough inventory, and you learned some really hard truths about yourself, and you found the exact nature of your wrongs, we went and we confided in somebody, and we allowed them to kind of show us a little bit more, dig a little bit deeper, encourage us a little bit, let us know we're not alone. We are worthy of sobriety and of God's grace in our life, even though we think we're not. Then we got to this place of a step 6 and 7, and we talked about not really having expectations and focusing on the willingness. That was really the key, the willingness to be free of these exact natures and the continued effort that it will take. See, that was the point that we truly begin to rely on this power. We're utilizing it through our fourth step, and we're getting some courage through our fifth step. But then I'm left with these exact natures of my wrongs and these fears and this feeling of not being good enough and this fear of failure and this idea that weakness is unacceptable in my life. And so to be free of that is rather difficult. So I have to focus on the willingness. And as I do that, honestly, I find myself continuing to reach out to God for help with those things in my life, right? Then comes the tough part of the amends. See, remember, it says, if we have carefully followed directions, we're going to begin to really feel the sense of God flow into us and develop this vital sixth sense. So we go out, we make these amends that are difficult, and I encourage each and every one of you, if you're sitting on some, go do them. Go do them. Don't wait. Don't stop. Don't hesitate. Go do them. You will find the power. The book told us that we are going to be amazed before we're halfway through. Right? It's pretty cool. So get out there and do them. Because that's part of me carefully following directions, right? And last week we talked about this 10th step, and we broke it down in kind of four areas. So we talked about everybody talking about continuing to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. That's what we hear all the time, right? We hear it all the time. And what happens is we're like, oh, and I'm supposed to talk to somebody, ask God to remove it immediately, talk to somebody about it right away, and then go and help somebody. And what happens is a lot of the times we feel like we're falling short. We're not doing that. We're not on the spot. And we also talked about not setting up too many expectations here and understanding that the 6 and 7 and the 10 are really, really connected, because if I make the selfishness, the dishonesty, the resentment, and the fear in my life personal, what happens, I begin to recognize it's all the same stuff kind of cropping up. I mean, yes, there are instances that are few and far between where I owe an amends to somebody or I pick up a resentment over a particular circumstance. But for the most part, the exact natures of my wrongs are cropping back up, which it says when these crop up, I begin to recognize those and I go to God with them. And so what I'm doing is 6 and 7 over and over, and I'm also becoming aware. I'm doing an 8 and 9. I'm doing, and like we talked about, if the resentment's so deep, we go all the way back to a 4, right? And you've heard him say 10 is really 4 through 9. Well, it is. It really is, right? So, but we also talked about 10 being kind of 4 parts, and the next part was this cease fighting anything or anyone and being totally safe and protected around alcohol and drugs and recoiling from it as a hot flame. What a beautiful, beautiful promise, right? Something we never thought we could ever do. It says that is the miracle of it, right? We're not fighting it. We're not avoiding it. I'm getting on a plane going to Sin City tomorrow. You know why? Because I'm safe and protected. That's why. But you know what's coming with me? My big book. You know what's going to happen tomorrow morning? On Awakening, 11th step. You know what's going to happen tomorrow night after a concert? Considering my day constructively, right? It has to. Otherwise, I will no longer be safe and protected. The next part about the 10th step that we mentioned, the third part of it, is this whole idea that if I don't maintain my spiritual condition, I am hopeless. Alcohol is a subtle foe I'm going to pick up again. There's a reason why we transcribe, do you believe? Do I believe? So many times. And if you want to simplify this whole thing, that's what you ask yourself. Do I believe it? Do I believe I truly have to admit powerlessness? Do I believe I'm an alcoholic? Do I believe God can get me past this madness? Do I believe I need to do a fearless and thorough inventory? Do I believe I need to make amends? Do I believe God can help me remove these defects of character in my life? Right? Do I believe God can make me safe and protected from something I can't control? Do I believe that if I do not continue, that this spiritual condition that I have today will go away? That it's contingent on the maintenance that I put in. We also talked about maintenance and growth, right? The definition of maintain is to stay the same, right? And if we want to focus on the word maintain, that's fine. But let us do the maintaining, but we have to allow God to grow in our lives, right? Like a rose bush. I trim it, but then it grows bigger and it grows stronger. And if it's properly cared for, it becomes this beautiful bush, right? And I didn't do that. I just did the little bit of trimming. God did the rest. And that's kind of what we're trying to do with this 10th step here. And the last part we talked about was, do I really believe that every day is a day that I have to carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities? Do I truly need to do that? What does that look like? Carefully following directions. That's what that looks like. Love and tolerance is our code. Kindness, compassion. There's four absolutes that came from the Oxford group, which were the absolutes that Bill Wilson couldn't really swallow in the beginning. And so he kind of walked away. They came up with the six tenets. They stayed sober for a while. Then they wrote the book and came up with the 12 steps. But the four absolutes, the foundation of where all of this came from, is absolute honesty, absolute purity, absolute unselfishness, and absolute love. So if you want to know what God's will for you in your life is, four absolutes. Absolute honesty with yourself and everybody around you. And it can go all the way back to, am I lying to myself? I'm not even really an alcoholic. I don't know. Absolute purity. That doesn't mean your mind's not wandering and you're thinking crazy stuff. That means that you're not acting on it. That means that you're not taking it to the next level, right? What are you doing with that impurity that comes? I suffer from it all the time. I've been a womanizer, a manipulator. I look to women to validate my existence. And impure thinking occurs rampant in my mind a lot of the time. What do I do? God, please replace these impure thoughts with purity, with abstinence, with eyes only for my wife. God, please give me a shield of faith and hope from the fiery arrows of the devil. Those kind of things are what goes on. That's what I say. Because that's part of my 10-step awareness and saying, hey, slow down, Jason, because you're going to get in trouble, right? My next step is to manifest it and act on it because I've done it. That's what happens, right? So the real question tonight is for you guys to ask if you have carefully followed directions, what that looks like. I don't want you to set up a bunch of expectations. I want to lean heavily on the fact that we are all alcoholics and addicts. We are all spiritually broken. We all suffer from a malady. If we allow that malady to manifest, the mental obsession will come and we will drink again. So that's how simple we can keep it. So it says that we've begun to develop this vital sixth sense. So here I am now, right? And I'm walking into this 11th step and I'm about to go out and be of service and take somebody through the steps, right? I need God. I need some help. I need him in my life at all times. So I've begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but it says I must go further, and that means more action. What kind of action are they talking about? Now, some of us have spiritual practices. Here's what I will say. If you have some sort of regimen that's consistent, and if it becomes mechanical, maybe you change it up a little bit, God bless you. Continue to do it. Okay? If you get to this place of what does an 11 step look like? What am I supposed to be doing? What is God's will for me? Okay. Let's follow directions. Let's follow directions. We got 1.5 pages to follow very specific directions. You want to do an 11 step by the book? We're going to go over it in 30 minutes time, and it's on 1.5 pages. Open the book up. Open the book up until you know these 7 questions that I'm about to go over. Okay? Open the book up enough to where when you are retiring at night, you can constructively review your day without opening the book up. You see, we told you to, we suggested. None of these are, this all suggestions, right? Kind of funny if it's life and death, but whatever. To read 84 through 88, 6 months ago, every day. That's what we said. There's a reason for it. We didn't tell you to start practicing it. We just told you to read it. Now I'm suggesting that if you believe this is life or death, start practicing it. Start practicing it. Start practicing it. Open the book. This has changed my life. I still wake up with my mind racing. I could say, oh yeah, but I run a business and I have employees and I'm a sole provider and I have all, man, I'm an alcoholic and an addict and I am full of fear a lot of the time. And this is what gets me grounded in the morning. And by nighttime, get a little tired. It's a little easier to get grounded, get on my knees and hit the pillow. But in the morning, this has to happen for me. It has to. I can't walk out the door without it. So it says here that step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. Now, some of us have really good meditation practices. It's taken me years. I sit in the dark, in quiet, 20 minutes every morning after I do some reading. Then I get on my knees and I do some prayer. None of that matters, okay? Walk towards it. Whatever looks good for you, I do suggest trying to find some quiet time. But again, we're going to specifically follow directions here. So let's see what it says. It doesn't tell me to get quiet. There's so many different forms of meditation, right? There's contemplative meditation. That's kind of what Bill Wilson's talking about here. At the end, he kind of directs us to dig a little deeper, and I'll point that out. This is up to you guys. And if you're struggling with it, follow directions. Do you want the sixth sense to develop in your life? Remember, we talked about the 5 senses, right? The taste and the touch and the hearing and the smell and the sight. And can this sixth sense be as real as those 5 senses? As real as my favorite music, as real as my favorite food, as real as my favorite movie, as real as my favorite smell. Can God be that real? That's a question. That's a real question. And when God becomes that real for you, you get to see how much he loves you and how much he cares about you and how it doesn't matter that you're walking through this life thinking, I'm not worthy of this anyway. It doesn't matter. The sixth sense will tell you that God is full of love and he'll wrap his arms around you and he's going to enable you to go practice his presence through this practice in your everyday life. And that's going to walk you towards sticking your hand out to somebody that says, I am suffering, man. I can't stop. What did you do? You say, well, let me help you, brother. Let me help you, sister. I'm right here. And I'm one of you and I struggle too. And I'm not going to judge you if you fail or falter. I'll be right here for you. I can't help you. I can't make you follow directions. I can't make you connect with God. Remember, we talked about required and desired. So important. If I continue to look at this process as a requirement in my life, it's only a matter of time before I tell you, nah, dude, I don't need that. I don't need you. That's weak. Until the moment I desire to do this. When I wake up, I desire to go and sit with God for a little bit. And that's what this has done for me today, which is crazy because I always believed, but I never had that desire to take the time. We all have different circumstances, situations, young kids, new spouses, single. I'm an empty nester. I mean, so I got it kind of good. I'm a sole provider, so I'm the one up at 4 a.m. in the dark. But so what? Don't make any excuses. Find the time. Make the time. Get up earlier. Go to bed later. I don't know. Whatever it takes, right? Go take a walk. Go find your spot. I think there's a lot of power in doing this stuff in the same spot as much as possible in your home. Find a place, right? The Bible talks about going and shutting the door when you go to pray, right? So remember, and I'm a big fan of not taking any scripture literally. Shut the door on the world. Shut the door on material things. Try and shut the door on everything that is running your life at that moment and just try and surrender. And understand that my purpose right now is to be in the present, because in the present is the only place I can experience God. I can't experience yesterday and I can't experience tomorrow. It has to be right now, right? So get in the present, shut the door, go to a place, quiet place, shut the door, do it in private. Make the time, make the place. And when that place is the same place, it becomes more powerful. In my experience, it really does. So it says it suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. So see, even if I'm looking at this and saying, okay, I believe this is a requirement? Yes. Do I believe this feels like work and it's mechanical? Okay. Let's work at it then. Let's work at it till it becomes desirable. Show me, God, that this is real. Show me that you are real. Right here. I'm having trouble believing. I can't stay sober. My life's a mess. My mind is racing. I can't get quiet. Help me. The best way to approach God, my belief, is with honesty and sincerity, whatever that looks like, whatever that sounds like. There's no proper. Again, we have directions in here if you want to utilize third step prayer, seventh step prayer, whatever. But I believe a sincere, honest, help me, I don't know, I'm scared, is a lot more powerful. It just really is. It's my experience with that. So it says it would be easy to be vague about this matter, because it is. Yet they believe that they can make some definite and valuable suggestions. Okay? So here's our 7 questions. Okay? Now, the fact that I could read this to you without looking at the book, none of that matters. That's ridiculous. But what it means to me is that I utilize it and that it's that real. And I'll tell you which ones are the toughest for me. And remember, we're coming off of our sex inventory. I want you guys to focus heavily on that. Because those people are the most closest and important people in our lives today. We didn't write a sex inventory on our young children. that we were manipulating and using. Okay. Come talk to me when they're in their 30s and then we'll do that, because I did that with my kids. But unless your kids are adults, then you probably don't have that issue. The majority of us talked about a spouse or somebody close to us, right? This 10th and 11th step is the essence of all of that. It's backing all of that up. Bring it into your home. Ask these questions about your relationship, your closest one. We don't have to be so broad and make this spectrum so huge that it becomes confusing. And I'm just like, oh my God, how can I be accountable to all this stuff? Try to be accountable in your home. Make it simple, right? Build your relationship. The most important relationship in your life besides the one with God. Make it better. Make it better, right? So it says when we retire at night, we're going to constructively review our day. We're not beating ourselves up. We're not filled with guilt and shame and remorse. We're going to constructively review it, right? And the first question we're going to ask is, was I resentful? Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? Or was I afraid, right? That sounds familiar. That's just like 10 step, right? Yeah. Remember, personal to you. What's the resentment that's going on in your home? What's the dishonesty that's going on in your home? What's the selfishness that's going on in your life? Personal to you. What's the exact nature of all these wrongs, these fears that continue to crop up? That's what you're looking for. Did that happen to me today? First question. Was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid today? All right, you get, oh, I can't do a 10 step on the spot. Well, we're giving you a shot to back it up at the end of the night. Check it out. Ask yourself the question. Next one, do I owe an apology? What did the 10 step tell me to do? Go make an apology if one's needed. Do I owe an apology in my household? Do I owe an apology to the people close to me? Or, you know, do I owe one to someone at work or someone that, you know, something came up today? Sure. We're constructively reviewing it. Question number two. Question number three. Have I kept something to myself that I need to discuss with somebody at once? Let's go right back to the 10th step. What's it say? Talk to somebody immediately. Right? Now, this one can kind of transcend into our recovery. Is there something I need to talk to my sponsor about? Is there something I need to open up to my fellows about? This one ate me up when I was hitting that bong and staying in recovery, but I wasn't drinking. But my God, I read this so many times that finally I went in and said, look, guys, I can't sponsor you no more. I've been smoking weed. I'm a newcomer. I did that three times. But a lot of it came from reading this page. Just being honest. Right? I got out. This is a way for us to hold ourselves accountable. Keep this book closed. You ain't gonna have a problem with being accountable. And you're probably gonna continue to have a problem with step 11. And we're gonna use this excuse that I don't know how to do it. What does it look like? What am I supposed to be? I can't meditate. Have I said anything? Did it say anything about meditation? It just says it's gonna talk about prayer and meditation. Right now, we're just talking about some questions at night. So please, if you want to keep it simple, page 86 and 87, that's it. That's all you got to do. Question number four. Was I kind and loving toward all? Kind of a broad question. Love and tolerance of others is our code. See how it's all just connected, right? And why do they do that? Because I'm selfish, I'm self-centered, I'm an addict, I'm an alcoholic, I'm willing for these things to go away, but I don't know what that looks like. This is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Change sucks. I snap back to the old person that I was very quickly. So I have to just continue. Was I kind and loving toward all? Where did I fall short? Right? Next question. Question number five. What could I have done better? This is the one that gets me. You know what I do with this question? On my knees in prayer before bed every night. This is one of the things I say every time. Not, God, what can I do better? Just please, God, show me what I could do better. You know why? Because I don't know. I don't know. That's it. Show me what I can do better. Show me what I can do better. Please. I found some spots where I kind of check. Okay, I wasn't kind and loving here. My fear of failure came up today. This selfishness that I'm better than you and superiority just kind of rang true with me today. And I snapped here. What can I do better, God? Not fix it now. Go away or this isn't working. Nah, let's not do that to ourselves. This is God's world, not mine. Question number 6. Were you thinking of yourself most of the time? Holy moly. So an honest answer to that question is probably most of the time, yes. And again, circle back to, please God, show me what I can do better. Show me what that looks like to not think of myself most of the time, right? Question number 7. Or were you thinking of others and what you could pack into the stream of life? Right? The beauty of working with other people all the time is you get to that 7th question, you're like, you know what? That was kind of on my mind today. Like I could say, yeah, I kind of said a little prayer and contemplated what the workshop was going to look like tonight. How could I be some channel or vessel of God's power? Cause I never know what's going to come out of my mouth. And that happens in the midst of fear of like me failing and AA being weak and I'm going to Vegas and I ought to be able to party like a real man. So what are you thinking of others and what you could pack into the stream of life? Remember, from 6 on, I'm practicing the presence of God now all of a sudden, right? I acknowledged the existence. Then I began to feel his presence as I'm going through 4 and 5, right? And from 6 on, I'm practicing his presence in my life, outwardly expressing the blessing that has been given to me. That's my job. And next week we'll lean real heavy on that. But you got to be honest with yourself. You can't do that properly if you're not doing this. You just can't. You can do it with superiority. You can preach down from some spiritual or moral hilltop, which is what it tells us not to do. We'll talk about that next week. You can prove to other people how you haven't had a drink and you're sober. And if you're going to go out and do it again, then you must not be done. So go ahead. Or you can say, you know, man, I'm building this relationship with God, and this is the hardest thing I've ever done. But I go through a series of 7 questions with myself each night, and I try and constructively review my day. And I do it out of the book. Why? Because I'm not wired this way. Because I don't want to pretend. Because I want to carefully follow directions so that I can develop this 6th sense in my life. Yeah. Right? So when you do all of this, it can be a lot. I promise you, you can get this process down to 5 minutes at night. You really can. I promise. Practice it. You can run it through your mind. It feels kind of good. Especially if you back it up with the on awakening in the morning. It feels good. So we have to be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. Some of our days are ugly. Sometimes we fall very, very short. We're not here to beat ourselves up. We're here to be gentle with ourselves. We're here to be honest with ourselves. We're here to ask for help. We don't drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. Okay? Why? Because that's going to make me useless to somebody. It says that it's going to diminish my usefulness to others. That's why. If I'm beating the shit out of myself because my review, because of what I'm doing, I'm of no use to you. So I'm going to constructively review with the seven questions, right? Was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do I owe an apology? Am I keeping something to myself that I need to share with somebody right away? Was I kind and loving toward all? Am I thinking of myself most of the time? Am I thinking of others or what I can pack into the stream of life? And the hardest one of them all, what could I have done better? These are seven questions, right? It don't matter what order you put them in either. Seven questions. Remember that, seven questions. What are those seven questions Jason's talking about? On page 86, that's where they are. That's 11 step. You want to know how to do 11 step? There you go, right? And it says when you retire at night. Remember, we're carefully following directions, okay? So after we do our review, this is another part of my nightly prayer, which is super simple. God, please show me what I could have done better, right? And please, God, show me what corrective measures I can take. It says we ask God for forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. It's a great prayer. Forgive me, Father. Show me what corrective measures that I can take here. Why? Because I don't know. I don't know what I can do better. I'm not going to lie to myself. You know, oh, yeah, I just need to fix this and this and this, and I'll be fine. It's God's world. Jason's world, I'm not here. I'm hooking up with the homie to get an eight ball, right, because I'm going to Vegas, making sure that I got an ounce. I'm talking to my wife of how we're going to get it on the plane, right? Making sure that I got some Valium to come down with and probably a couple opioids, maybe some Oxy to kind of kick it off and get it in there, right? That's what I'm doing for tomorrow morning. So I did last time I went to Vegas 10 years ago. Yeah. I wonder why I'm a little nervous. So anyway. Ask God what your corrective measures are, man. What can I do better, God? I'll be thanking him. You know what the cool thing is, and I've learned in sobriety, we will struggle with certain activities and things that we used to do. But the only way that we're going to overcome that is to do it and to look back and have the experience and say, wow, I did that sober. Wow, like you hear all these people that, oh, I've lived life and I've done. Well, they've had all these experiences sober and done these things that some of us are like afraid to do. Because we've never done it sober. So next Thursday, I'll be able to share with you guys, hey, check it out. I went to Vegas, back sober, right? I'm not overconfident about that. You know why? Because I know that reliance upon God the entire time is what's required. If I even think for a minute that I got this, nah, I'm in trouble. I've done that. I did it at the Super Bowl, right, with 3 years and 8 months. On the eighth step of BBA. Yeah, 2022. Went to the Super Bowl. Huh. Then come back and tell Vinny. Hey, man, I had a drink. He said, oh, no. So, anyway, let's ask God for forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures we can take. So that's our constructive review when we retire at night. First part of step 11, right? Second part of step 11. This one has changed my life more than anything in Alcoholics Anonymous. More than anything. This is on awakening. You see, I'm in control. I've got plans. I know what the day looks like. And if it doesn't go the way I want it to, I'm going to force it to go that way. And if it goes bad enough, I'm just going to turn my back on it, go get loaded, and try it again tomorrow. Because I cannot fail. That's what my life looked like. That's the kind of man that I am without the power of God in this program in my life. And what it leads to is emotional abuse at home, a mental state that's just racing most of the time, confusion, doubt, fear. And this on awakening has completely changed that for me. completely. First thing I do in the morning, oh, coffee and cigarette. And while I'm doing that, that's when this happens, right? I remember coming into Alcoholics Anonymous and hearing them say this, on awakening, I share, oh, first thing I do. And I was like, yeah, first thing I do is like get up and go to the bathroom. And so I'm not going to be like so literal, like as soon as your eyes open. When my eyes open, hit that alarm, my mind is racing, I'm foggy, I'm walking to the coffee. That's what I'm doing. Put my little pot in. I don't do anything until my lips hit that cup of coffee. I walk outside, I sit on my porch, I light a cigarette. That's what I do. Maybe the cigarette part could change someday. We'll see. I doubt the coffee will. I'm still awakening because I feel it kind of happening about halfway through that cup of coffee. I feel the fog kind of clear. I'm like, oh, okay. Then I think about the 24 hours ahead. So it starts to, I try to slow down what's racing and just, okay, what's happening today? Remember, the only place I can find God's presence is in the present. The only way I can practice the presence of God is me being in the present. So, when we wake up, let's think about the 24 hours of the day. Let's just consider our plans for the day. We're not lining it out. So that's what I used to do. This happens and this happens. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I still do that, but before I just consider, slightly consider, okay, whoa, man, today's crazy. Oh my gosh, how am I going to pull this off? Or I don't really have that much going on today. Either way, before I begin really considering, before I begin, I ask God to direct my thinking. Every single day, one day at a time. God, please direct my thinking. Divorce me from self-pity, self-seeking, or dishonest motives. I promise you guys those words come out of my mouth every single morning. Then I think about what my day looks like, right? So it says, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. I've said that so many times, and there's so many times where I'm thinking, man, this is, because I don't like to be like a parrot talking to God and saying the same stuff. This is something that I say all the time. I just say it. Just divorce me from self-pity, self-seeking, and dishonest motives today, God. Then I'm going to drop back to what are my plans for today? What does it look like? And a lot of the times we have all these things going on, and even if we don't, I kind of want to lean heavily on asking for inspiration and direction, which is what we're going to talk about here in a minute. It says, under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. You see, a lot of people will say here, well, see, it says God gave you a brain to use. I'm supposed to line things out. That's not what it says. It says, under these conditions. What condition? The condition that before I begin, I go to God and I ask him to divorce me from self-pity, self-seeking, and dishonest motives. See how easy this is? This is step 11. It's going to take effort. You got to find a place of your own in your home. But you can do it. I promise you can do it. So God did give me a brain to use. And what happens is when I do this, my thought life gets placed on a much higher plane. When my thinking is clear of wrong motives. So if we really believe that the main problem of the alcoholic centers in the mind, how important is it for me to get my thought life on a higher plane every single morning? If my main problem centers in my mind, you see, yeah, we lean so heavily on the malady here. Okay. But where's that lead you? That's going to lead you to the obsession. That's what's taking you to the drink. That illusion, the lie that it's going to be different sometime this time. Or even sometimes, I know I'm an alcoholic, I don't even care. I'm drinking anyway. Whatever. I mean, it's so bad. It's so delusional. It's such a lie. We can't even fight it anymore. Now we're, what does it say? We are fighting a craving beyond our mental control. Right? So What do I have to do? I have to get my thought life on a higher plane. How am I going to do that? I'm going to pause and I'm going to say, God, divorce me from self-pity, self-seeking, dishonest motives today. That's the first part. Then I'm going to start lining out my day. Then it says, in thinking about our day, we may face indecision. So for me particularly, it never goes exactly the way I planned. But what has happened is become so peaceful. I can have madness. I can have 5 employees, 3 jobs going. This didn't work out. That didn't work out. This guy didn't finish. This one got messed up. All these things happened. But what I can say is, God, give me some inspiration. I don't know how I'm going to attack this today. You see, I lay out my plans because I asked you to direct my thinking. I asked you to divorce me from self-pity, self-seeking, dishonest motives, but I'm still in doubt. I'm still in fear. What do I do? I go right back to God and I say, God, give me inspiration. Give me some guidance. It says we ask God for an inspiration or intuitive thought or decision. Carry that one with you all day. The 11th step doesn't just happen at night. People are saying, or just in the morning. Take it with you. That's going to help you with your 10th step. That's going to help me to carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities all throughout the day. That's going to put my thought life on a higher plane. I'm continuing to say, whoa, I'm in doubt here. God, help me. Please help me. I'm going to do this, this, and this. I don't know what it looks like. I don't have the answer. Just please give me an inspiration. Give me some guidance. Give me some intuition. Word it however you want. Okay. Through that, we can relax and take it easy. How do I relax and take it easy? That's how. Go to God for guidance. Ask for some inspiration. Ask for intuition, an intuitive thought or decision. Get your thought life on a higher plane. Don't try and plan all your stuff out without going to God and take him with you throughout all of it, your whole day, right? It's going to tell us at the end here, thy will be done, right? Constantly. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. That's what's changed my life. And as a business owner, as a recovering and now recovered alcoholic and drug addict, changed my life completely. Giving me some level of peace in the midst of chaos and madness. Yeah. And what I watched happen is success just grow around me. I don't even know how that happened. Seven years ago, man, I didn't know how the hell we were going to make it. I filed bankruptcy in the past. I've almost lost my home. My marriage was ripped apart. So many things have happened. And I've not been able to do this on my own. So.
Oh, today's Thursday. Hold on.
Okay. So we're not going to struggle. We're going to be surprised at how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. And what used to be a hunch or occasional inspiration gradually is going to become a working part of our mind. Working part of our mind. How is that going to happen? Carefully following directions. Repetition will lead to automation. Something you feel is required will turn into something that you desire. But you got to do it. Got to do it. Watch the miracle happen in your life. The change of thinking that will occur. Now, here's a real important part of all of this. Okay, remember, it says constructively review our day. And then after that, do not drift into morbid reflection. Or remorse. Or worry. Don't beat yourself up. We're all inexperienced at this. So being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. It's not probable. It's not possible. So don't have the I talk so much on letting go of expectations. Let go of them, right? You're not going to be inspired all the time. A perfect reason to go to God continually and ask for inspiration. Makes sense, right? Because I'm not going to be inspired all the time. If I think this way, I'm going to pay for that presumption and all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. I'll just step back for a minute and think of all the absurd actions and ideas that you have thought of and done because you felt you weren't inspired enough. And if that's working for you, then keep doing it. Because that's what you're going to get. If I'm going to beat myself up because I'm not inspired enough and this isn't working for me, let me step back for a minute, kind of see, am I carefully following directions? Do I even want to develop this sixth sense? Am I truly willing to have my fears fall for me? Am I willing to become vulnerable and authentic? I don't know. Do I want to be free from this illness that's killing me and my family and lying to me? So we will pay for that presumption and all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. But nevertheless, we're going to find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration, and we're going to come to rely upon it. We're going to rely on divine influence, not sponsors, not meetings, not steps. I'm always unaware of what God's will is, but I'm usually sure of what it isn't. That's what we transcribe there. Remember, guys, if your book isn't completely transcribed, then you need to get the words in there so that you can help somebody when the time comes. That's a killer statement. That's something we wrote in the asterisk at the end of that paragraph at the top of the page. Rely on divine influence, not sponsors, not meetings, not steps. I'm not always aware of what God's will is, but I'm usually sure of what it isn't. Pretty good statement. So here it says, we usually conclude this period of meditation with a prayer. Okay, hold on a minute. Stop. You just said, conclude this period of meditation. Did I say anything about sitting quiet, having your thoughts not race, getting all confused about why you can't find the ability to sit in the dark by yourself with God, how that's a little too much for you? Go towards that. Let this contemplative meditation be your 11th step. These seven questions you ask at night, these important things that you go to God with every morning that give you the ability to relax and take it easy, not to struggle, that get your thought life on a higher plane, right? So what's the prayer that I'm going to conclude all of this with? That I be shown all through the day what my next step is to be, that I be given whatever I need to take care of such problems, and that I'm asking especially for freedom from self-will. Step 10, 11, and 12, third steps of self-will run riot, right? That's what we talk about. And I have to be free of it or it's going to kill me, is what it says. It kills us. Freedom from self-will is step 10, 11, and 12. So it is. But in order to get there, I got to carefully follow directions. And first and foremost, I got to believe I'm powerless and my life's unmanageable. Or none of it's going to work anyway. And if I can't do that, I got to get to the place of why do I think I still have power? What's going on? Just sit there. Figure it out. I mean, worry about moving forward. That's what I had to do. I had to find out that I was assuming that you guys were all weak and that a principle of my life that a real man never asked for help was breaking my back in this program and was taking me out all the time. And this idea that I don't need love or help from anybody because I'm better than all of you. That's the attitude I brought into Alcoholics Anonymous. And the fear of failure overwhelmed it all. That exact nature of that wrong there, it was just like, nope, can't fail. You guys are weak. Don't need your help. Don't need your love. By the way, you want me to take you through the steps? That's what I did. And you know where I ended up every time? Getting loaded. Now I see it. That's why I thought I had power. When that stuff comes up today, I go to God with it. I give him my fears and the principles that guide me, that were once the guiding force of my life. I love that. Out of there is a solution. They're no longer a guiding force in my life. So we're going to ask for freedom from self-will, and we're careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. Right? I'm going to give you guys a little pointer, something that I do that I have found really, really powerful. When you go to God in prayer and you're struggling with something, I want you to try and thank him for doing it for you before it's even done. Thank him. Say you got a family member that's struggling in recovery. I want you to thank God for touching his heart and opening his heart and giving him the ability to be sober one more day, even if you're full of doubt. Whatever it may be, I don't know where my guys are working the week after next. I've already thanked God for the work that's coming. That's the kind of attitude I have to have. My grandmother taught me that when I was a little boy, to thank God in advance. So lean heavily on that. It's a really powerful tool in prayer for the scariest things in your life, right? What is that? If that's not thy will be done, if God is all good, all loving, all powerful, wants to wrap his arms around me and embrace me and show me his goodness, then why wouldn't he want me to? Now, remember, I'm not praying for self, right? This isn't, oh, thank you, God, for letting me win the lottery tomorrow. No. This is real stuff. But what's happening is it's the essence of thy will be done in my life. And I'm going to thank you in advance for it. So kind of contemplate that. The toughest things that are happening for you, go to God with them and thank him. And do it over and over and over until you believe it. Right? We talk about belief turned to faith. Let that be a little tool to help you there. So many of us waste a lot of time praying for our own selfish ends, and we know it doesn't work. We can easily see why, okay? Then it says, if circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. Now, we can do this. Everybody has different circumstances. I bought my book, I bought my wife a devotional and a little Bible, and I'm like, here, you know. But it's not my job to do that. Honestly, guys, girls, going private on my own is like super important to me. It really is. Doesn't mean I don't love somebody. Doesn't mean I don't want to invite them in. The way that I invite them into my meditation is I'm bringing their spirit, the thought of them, my relationships, what's going on, how can I be better, all of these kind of contemplative things as I'm sitting there quiet, right? So I'm inviting my friends and my wife into my meditation through my mind and my spirit as I'm getting quiet with God. We do hold hands and pray at night, not as much as we should, but that was a practice that we started a while back. That's really cool. Just as we're laying right before, you know, you give him a kiss, good night, honey. Just a simple hold the hand, lay on the back, not like over on our knees together kind of thing. She doesn't do the knees. Okay. Sometimes she'll come put her hand on my shoulder when I'm on my knees. Feels really good. I tell you, give me a little kiss on the back of the neck or something. It's like, dude, I just feel that power, but I'm not saying, oh, honey, get on your knees with me here. And that's not for me to say or tell any of you guys. I'm just suggesting and I'm sharing with you what I do. But the whole, I don't think there's a greater form of surrender than getting on your knees and praying. I really don't. I think there's real power in it. And I believe if you break a woman or a man down enough, they ain't going to have no problem getting on their knees. The problem is when they're not broken down, or when they begin to recover, or when they think. Like, you talk to, I bet 99 out of 100 people that walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous on that first day would have had no problems getting on their knees that day and saying, God help me, right? I'm dying here. God help me. Why does that go away? Why does that desperation go away? Why does that level of surrender disappear? Like, contemplate that. Come on now. Is it life or death? Does that circumstance go away? Is it no longer life and death? I don't know. That's, this is what we talked about. No one's holding anybody accountable anymore. This is on you. This is going to be the power you're going to bring to somebody else. So that's what we're doing here. That's all we're doing, right? So we ask our wives, our friends to join us, right? If we belong to a religious denomination, this is where they tell us to get a little bit deeper, which requires a definite morning devotion, then we attend to that also. If we're not members of religious bodies, then we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers, which you guys can find out of the book, that are going to emphasize the principles we've been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. And here we're going to be quick to see where religious people are right. We're not quick to see that religious people are right. There's a key word there. I'm not telling you religious people are right. I'm telling you to be quick to see where they're right. Surrender. Prayer. Contemplative meditation. Accountability. Love and tolerance. Kindness. Compassion, honesty, purity, unselfishness, love. Let's see where they are right and how those principles transcend into our program. You cannot deny it. It's too obvious to deny. That will be a battle that you will have with yourself. That's all. No sense in fighting that. Let's see where religious people are right. Let's see how a lot of them are living a life of contented sobriety, basically. And we kind of want, that's kind of what we're looking for. Comfortable in our own skin, right? Remember, we're not going to miss the beauty of the forest because of the ugliness of a few trees. We're going to have to lay aside prejudice. All of these things in this book, it all connects. And I have to be able to connect the dots. And the more we study it, the more we connect the dots. And it's not so that you can beat somebody over the head with this book. It's so that you can help somebody. So that you can gain the ability to be a channel and a vessel of the power of God through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous to another person that's suffering. Right? It's important. And so the message doesn't get lost. It's too easy for it to become secular and get lost and say, I have a mental and a physical disease. And, I'm going to live one day at a time. I'm going to put the plug in the jug. It doesn't work for me. So we're going to make use of what they have to offer. So what does that look like for you? What is that? I just wrote a book. It's out. It's a very easy way to utilize just small doses of scripture right next to words out of the big book. If you never open a Bible, open my book. Read some scripture. It's not religion. It's a personal experience with the power of God in your life. It's called But for the Grace of God, right? It's a bridge between the big book and the Bible. So if you don't have it, most of you probably do, but check it out. Recommend it to somebody that's kind of struggling. I don't know how to make a connection. Use that for your morning meditation. I don't know. Like, whatever works for you. But remember, we have to carefully follow directions. This cannot stay in a place of desire. We just have to, right? We're not dismissing all the shit. We're just releasing it. I don't want to carry it around anymore. It's all real and it all hurts. So all of this is going to give us the ability to, as we go through the day, to be able to pause when agitated or doubtful, right? Now, I can't just pause. It says I have to pause and then ask for the right thought or action. I fall short here miserably. I do a lot of pausing when I'm doubtful and I ask for inspiration, ask for guidance. I've made that a real habit in my life. Pausing when I'm agitated is still very, very difficult for me. I find it near impossible. But that's why this is a program of progress and not perfection. That's why I don't morbidly reflect. That's why I ask God, what can I do better? That's why I can recognize, do I owe an apology for where I snapped? Because I wasn't able to pause when agitated. I wasn't able to have restraint of tongue, right? Another scripture I love talks about, be careful what you say because words can destroy everything. Destroy everything. Just the words coming out of your mouth. The power of the tongue is crazy. You can't take it back, right? It's easier for me to apologize for an action than it is for me to apologize for what I said. Because, man, that stuff sticks. And remember, who are we hurting? Usually the people really close to us. That's usually where it sits. So let's practice this right there where it sits. Let's keep it simple. Practice in our home. With our loved ones. With our boyfriends, with our girlfriend, whatever it may be. Let's build a relationship that's worth something. So we're going to constantly remind ourselves throughout the day that we're no longer running the show. Why? Because self-will run riot is the hardest thing to be free of. We're not getting rid of self. We're getting rid of selfishness and self-centeredness and a self-will run riot. We're still who we are. We're just trying to walk south, right? Remember, third step, we're not walking north, we're walking south. I can still be Jason. I just need to be practicing the presence of God in my life. I need to bring God's will into all of my activities. Right? How do I do that? Practicing this 10th and 11th step. If I get so caught up in, well, I'm not going to be myself anymore, then I'm never really going to believe that I'm powerless. And I'm never really going to believe that God can get me past this. And I'm never going to be able to actually do an honest third step. Because I'm so concerned of what does life look like without me. That's not what we're doing. Change is the hardest thing that we'll ever do. Change is something we cannot do. God has that power. So we go to Him. And we say, show me the self, right? It says, it's the proper use of my will. And that I can exercise my will along that line all I wish. My will, it says. Why? Because it's in line with God's will. What is God's will? Let's keep simple. Again, remember, absolute honesty, absolute purity, absolute unselfishness, absolute love. It's not that complicated. None of us are worthy of the love of God, but we don't have to be. But as we move forward, we get to realize like, wow, loves me. Wow, he's doing something in my life. Nobody is more worthy than the other person. So I realize I'm not running the show anymore. What am I going to do? I'm going to humbly say to myself many times each day, thy will be done. Thy will be done. What happens when I do that? I am then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. That's what happens. Thy will be done. God, show me. God, direct me. God, divorce me of self-pity, self-seeking, dishonest motives. Give me inspiration. Give me guidance. Help me here. I'm doubtful. I'm afraid. I'm angry. Thy will be done. Thank you for working your will in my life. Thank you for getting me through another day sober. I'm saying this first thing in the morning. That's thy will be done, right? I can be in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. I'm going to become much more efficient. I'm not going to tire so easily. I'm not going to be burning up energy foolishly as I did when I was trying to arrange life to suit myself, when I was the director, when I was running the show, like we talked about in the third step. Nobody lives up to the script, right? It works. It really does. It really does. If we've carefully followed directions. So we alcoholics are undisciplined. So we're going to let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. We're not going to force God. We're not going to set expectations upon God. We're going to let God. Let God. This is not all. There's action and more action. Because once again, faith without works is dead. And the next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. So the miracle of step 11 happens when I get off my knees and carry this message out to the world. Practicing presence of God in my life. And that's it. That simple. I even kind of complicated it a little bit. So keep it way more simple than that. Follow the directions on the few pages for yourself. Let it grow. Turn it into something else. Make it more. Start to seek. Do some research. Find something that I don't like to say makes sense because none of it really makes sense. I think that's the beauty of it. Just find something that speaks to your heart. And if you haven't found that yet, then keep looking. Find something that speaks to your heart, something that can crack you open and break through the barrier. And once you find it, dig deep right there. Don't be a spiritual butterfly bouncing all over the place trying to figure out what God's will is for you. Find something that speaks to your heart. Don't stop till you find it. Let it crack you open and dig a deep well. Don't dig a shallow well. I've been guilty of digging shallow wells and exploring metaphysics and yoga and Christianity and all of these things. And now today I see a connection in them all. And it's been really beautiful, but it took me a long time to get to that place. And I circled all the way back to Christianity without being like super religious, judgmental, condemning, literal. But I do open the Bible every day. I do pray to God. I do believe in Christ. I do believe that I am forgiven. I do believe that without continued effort to grow, I'm going to revert back to ego and pride and fear. So it's been a real peaceful journey for me. And it's something that I believe to my core, right? And I don't take it literally. There's a lot of things. I don't get into deep discussions about it with people that are super religious because I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I believe the essence of it and that there's a real deep meaning behind it and that there is this power of love for me and that when I pray, I'm heard. I believe that. I truly, truly believe that. So I encourage you guys to dig deep into your 10th and 11th steps so that you can honestly walk into helping others and also be honest with yourself if there's places that need more work or where you've faltered or maybe weren't 100% honest or whatever it may be that this is your journey and the journey is everything. Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't morbidly reflect. More important for us to just be honest with ourselves and continue to grow or continue to maintain and allow God to grow in our lives, right? So yeah, that's the 11th step, man. And that's it. Let me stop this.